Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic episode on this silsila, The Early Echo. In fact, today is another special Eid transmission of the Early Echo. I'm sure you are enjoying your day of Eid with your family members, with your close ones, your beloved ones, your near and dear ones. The environment is of joy and happiness is spreading everywhere. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And why not? Of course, continue to share happiness. Share those smiles, even to the Muslims that you don't even know. How about also putting smiles on the faces of those who are poor and needy? Go that extra mile, according to your capacity. Yes, spread that joy in your own homes, because Eid is a time. Eid is a time families get together, they visit each other, they keep in touch with each other, they exchange gifts with each other, and there is such a beautiful environment in the air. It's, subhanallah, we have the best of all festive occasions. Our festive functions, programs, occasions are the purest. Yes, are the best, the most spiritually uplifting, the cleanest, and purest as well. You're not going to find any alcohol and champagne and wine and all of that filth. You will not find intermingling of ghayr mahareem. You won't find music and singing and dancing. No, pure. Subhanallah. Thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us Muslims and for giving us the purity of Islam. Well, today we are going to be talking about extending the call towards righteousness and forbidding evil as well. Yes, even on today, being a day of Eid, still we should extend the invitation to goodness, starting where? In our own homes, with our own family members. That is your starting point. So stay tuned for that discussion, inshallah ta'ala. Let's remember the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrun Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. And so let's make some good intentions. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshallah Azza wa Jal. There are so many beautiful bounties, benefits, blessings for reciting Salat ala Nabi, Durud e Pak. Salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that the one who recites the Quran invokes the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recites blessed durood upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter seeks forgiveness from Allah azza wa jal. Undoubtedly, he has located goodness from its correct location. Whenever you're making dua, don't forget at least one Durood e Pak must be included in that dua. If the Durood Sharif is missing, then that dua is hanging between the heavens and the earth. Nothing goes beyond until the person recites Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who says that? The second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, continue reciting as much as possible. Durood Sharif is so powerful, subhanallah azza wa jal, that it is a means of removing of sins. It is a means of earning thawab. It is a means of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a means of entering paradise. It is a means of an increase in one's rank in the court of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So don't stop with salawat and durood e pak. Let us now listen to a beautiful kalam and we'll continue with the discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Ya Rasul Allah, mere aqa, Naseema jaane behbada guzar kun. Seema jaane behbada guzar kun. Naseema jaane behbada guzar kun. Naseema Naseema safar kar sabha tu sabha tu aj madine da safar kar mede gham di muhammad ko khabar kar khabar kar
ya seema jaane behbada ya seema se anwaalam muhammad ra khabar kun
tu hi sultaan e alam ya habibi nazar kun zarue lutf soe man nazar kun tu hai sultan kul alam da sona tu hai sultan kul alam da sona asar kar nimani te nigahe pur asar kar
seema jaane behbada guzar kun
بشر کن فدائے روضہ خیر بشر کن سکھ دی جان میں دینال چائی بج سکھ دی جان میں دینال چائی بج نبی دے پاک روزے دی نظر کر نبی دے پاک روزے دی نظر کر لطفش مشرف گرچ شد جامی ز لطفش خدایا ای کرم بارے دیگر کن خدایا ای کرم بارے دیگر کن
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. MashaAllah Azawajal, I'm sure you enjoyed that kalam. These beautiful kalams are designed to further increase that love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. The love of Sahaba Kiram, Ahlul Bayt and Awliyaullah in our hearts. If you want to listen to more kalams like this by different reciters, then go onto YouTube and type in Naat Production. This is the official page of Dawat Islami. And some beautiful, wonderful kalams you will find. So listen and recite also with good intentions. Recite. You'll get thawab. And encourage your future generations, your children, your grandchildren, if you have any, to also get them used to this. Above all, to listen to Kalamullah, the glorious Quran. And thereafter, get them used to listening to Naat Sharif, Mankabat, Munajat, Ham Sharif, and to recite along as well. May Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu take us all for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif time and again. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnat, the founder of Dawat Islami, a kamil wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla, a great scholar of Islam that is followed by tens of millions of people around the globe. He mentions in one of his books that Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, سیدنا امام محمد بن محمد بن محمد الغزالی رحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ has reported and written in Ihya al-Ulum. This is the magnum opus, the masterpiece of Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala. He writes therein that Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Zakariya rahmatullah ta'ala has mentioned, I once visited Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Aisha rahmatullah alayhi. And he, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, was returning home from the masjid. He performed Salatul Maghrib and he was returning home. He saw a young Qurayshi, but he was highly intoxicated. He was drunk and he was trying to interfere with the lady. The lady was screaming and shouting for help. People, they heard this. They saw what was happening. They all rushed forward and they fell upon him. They started to beat him up. But the great scholar, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Muhammad, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he saw that what was happening to this young man. And he pushed his way in there to try and free him from the crowd. He freed him. Now everybody in there knew, I mean, this is a great scholar, so let's just back off now. Maybe he's going to help this young man that was intoxicated, was drunk. What did he do? Maybe he was going to scold him. But Sheikh Abdullah ibn Muhammad, rahmatullah ta'ala, what does he do? He hugs that young man. He said, come with me. He takes him home. He makes him sleep in one of the rooms. And when he awakens, he's now sober. He comes to his senses and he became aware of his actions that, you know, this is what I did. And the great Sheikh, the great scholar, took me in, saved me from getting beaten, and made me come here. He started to have lots of regret. And because he became aware of his shamelessness, his behavior, due to the state of intoxication. He was very ashamed. He started to cry profusely. And he started to leave as well. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Muhammad, rahmatullah ta'ala, he stopped him. He said, wait, before you go. Why did he stop him? To call him towards goodness, towards righteousness, by using gentleness, politeness, compassion, sympathy, and a loving manner. He said, my son, you are a Qurayshi. You are of noble descent. You should think seriously that you are a descendant of such a great personality, the greatest of personalities. Please repent. Repent sincerely from alcohol and all other sins. The young Qurayshi, he heard this and it had a major impact on his heart. Major impact. That he put his head down. He thought about the words, just that one, two sentences made him started to think profoundly that, yes, you know, I am from such a family. I'm ashamed of myself, deeply ashamed. And he repents. With tears rolling down his cheeks, he sincerely repents. And he pledges to stay away from alcohol and other type of sins. The great Sheikh kissed the young man's forehead. And subhanallah, gave him more encouragement. The young man became so impressed with the treatment and the company of Sayyidina Sheikh Abdullah ibn Muhammad rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, that He changed his life completely to the extent that he was later appointed for writing down a hadith. From where to where? Subhanallah. Don't feel that, you know, so and so doesn't practice Islam. So and so, maybe you know them, maybe you don't know them. That brother, he doesn't even have a beard. I have a beard. He doesn't wear, forget Imam Sharif and turban, he doesn't wear a hat. He wears a western cap and he comes to the masjid. Sometimes, I'm there all the time. I bet he can't read Quran properly. I can read. I did Madani Qaida. I did this class in this course. Look, we might not, this doesn't apply to everybody. We are there to judge only ourselves in order to reform ourselves. But I'm talking about the individual that does this. That all these thoughts play in the mind, in the heart. And very quietly, silently, it can enter in there. So when I look at a person, no sunnah, no beard, no salah, no, just materialism, like a hedonist. What are my thoughts? Are my thoughts that, you know, what a Muslim loves for himself, he loves for his other Muslims as well. How can I try to, with strategy, with wisdom, you know, try to convince and influence this brother to become more Islamically inclined? And make friends with him. Do I think like this? Make friends, why? Not to expect anything from him. Not to expect money or favors. No. Number one, for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to bring him one step at a time. One step at a time. To invite him towards goodness. To encourage him away from evil. And bring him closer and closer to Islamic practices. Or do I think in my mind, hey, why must I waste my time on him? I'm busy reforming myself. At least I'm better off than him. Of course I'm better. I must say I'm better than him, but I am better. I can read Quran properly, and I'm practicing the sunnah, and I got miswak, and look at him. Clean shaven. Be very careful. It's the day of Eid. Be very careful, because shaitan is out with vengeance. During Ramadan, he was trapped. He was chained up in the hellfire. Ramadan is over. He's out full force. His army. Let's go. Let's make them submit to their desires. The ego, the self. The carnal desires, the base self. I am better than him. There's no time for that. Believe me, there's no time. That is immature and childish. There's no time for that, my dear viewers and listeners. Uplift people. Starting in your own home. We heard the story now by Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Imagine if that great pious person did not intervene and just said, oh, it's none of my business, you know. I'm going to go inside there, I'll get hit also. Let me just carry on, you know, walking by. What would happen? What would have happened to that youngster? Could have been beaten to death, severely injured and wounded. But the pious man, the scholar of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decided, no, I'm going to make a difference here, a real lasting difference. So he goes in there. And so it reminds you of the narration, if you see a wrong, correct it. With your hands, go in there and stop it physically. If you're unable to, use your tongue. Speak out against it. That physically you're unable to do anything, verbally, can create an awareness. You can speak out, you can say, but even then, the narration says, if you cannot even do that, then in your heart, you must know this is wrong, this is evil, this is sin. And that is the weakest part of Iman. You cannot do anything, cannot say anything. You can just believe and think that this is wrong. So at least in your household, you need to be, you have to put a stop to evils. And there's so many different types, minor, major. There's so many different types. We have some people, some parents allowing, just an example. But we hear these cases, that they will allow the young daughter to go out with their friends. Come on, don't be so strict, man. We want to be cool parents. Huh? You want to be cool parents? Do you want to see your daughter being roasted in the fire of hell? No, of course not. Why are you pushing your sons and daughters towards the hellfire? Those who are encouraging, those parents who are encouraging premarital relationships, huh? What do you think you are doing? Who gave you permission for this? At least, you know, they're coming home, it's Eid day, everybody's happy. That's my son's girlfriend or fiance. That's my daughter's boyfriend, huh? Or they are engaged. Who gave you permission? Who gave you permission? Does Allah and His Rasul and Islam Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you permission? Or you gave yourself permission? Or your mind has been made up because of un-Islamic values? Where did you get the permission from? We're living in the all excuses in the book, besides proof from Islam that there is no, nobody gave permission. I decided on my own that I want to be a cool parent. Huh? I don't want to be disliked by my son and daughter. Okay, at least they're in the house. We know where they are. And they're not out there. And it's just safe. It's in a controlled, supervised environment. Who gave you permission? You are destroying their lives. The amount of marriages of young couples that have dated for years, which are breaking because they're entering with massive emotional baggage. That kind of a parent, you are partially responsible. You cannot do anything now. When your child, the marriage separates, you have contributed to that. If you are one of those parents that have allowed, instead of stopping the evil, instead of training their minds, that from small, from little, you're not allowed to leave the house without a burqa, without covering yourself properly. 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. From small, they must be trained so much, it must be part of their routine. So automatically they know, if I leave the house, I have to grab my burqa, dress up properly. Even a 6 year or 7 year old girl, are we fulfilling our responsibilities of inviting our family members towards goodness? Forbidding them from evil? No, don't listen to that. Shaitan becomes happy if you listen to music. Shaitan becomes happy. See, in the world we live in, they try to portray that there's a good guy, there's a bad guy. Everybody must side with the good guy and be against the bad guy. Our ultimate bad guy or the leader of the bad guys is Shaitan. We all know that. Aduwwum mubin, the open enemy. So that's the training we need to give to the children or grandchildren. There's the leader, the boss of the bad guys. You listen to music, you're making him happy. You don't listen to your parents, you're making him happy. You don't need your salahs. You're making shaitan, iblis, happy. He's happy with you. Girlfriend, boyfriend, guess who you're making happy? And guess where he's going to? Permanently, forever, the hellfire. That training must start from small. And if you want it to be absorbed into their minds and their hearts, repetition is part of learning. It has to be regular, even in different ways, directly, indirectly. But the training, the teaching, that nurturing, that tarbiyah has to be ongoing. I'm not talking about bayans, long, long speeches and talks and discourses. No. We just have to plant seeds. 2-3 minutes, 3-4 minutes, plant one seed. 4-5 minutes, plant one seed. 2-3 minutes, plant one seed. And then water. Water it with the reminders. Remember we were talking about music? So don't, why are you going to make him happy? You don't want to go with him. You want to go with him. Do you want to go with him? He's going to the fire of hell forever. So of course, everybody will say, a grown-up child will say, I don't want to go. No. I want to go to Jannah. So the training must be there also. If you read your salahs, you'll make Allah happy. If you do this, you'll make Allah happy. You read Durood Sharif, if you practice Sunnah, you listen to your parents, you don't listen to shaitan, don't follow in the footsteps of shaitan, you make Allah happy. If he is happy, he will send you to paradise, Jannah. And whatever you want, you will get it. All the bounties, all the blessings, all the peace you want, whatever good you desire. So the training has to be there. This is part of the call towards righteousness and the forbidding of evil. So back to the parents, that encourage opposite. That want to be a 21st century parent, a cool parent, by encouraging evil and looking at goodness as backwards. No, man, you know, why should she's still young. 8 years old, 9 years old, come on. She's not even a teenager. 10 years old, you know, leave her, man. Don't force her to wear burqa and to cloak and come on. Before you know it, 12, 13 years old, and she's telling you, no, I don't want this yet. This is the dress I want. Nice, tight, fitting dress. Where's your burqa? Come on, dad, mom. Don't be old school, man. Don't be backwards. So what training did we do? The plant is, the stem is flexible. You can turn it. Some farmers, they do this. Yeah. They, in different directions, they turn the stem, the plant, and then when it grows into a tree and hardens up in that shape, when that plant becomes a tree, The bark is hard. You can't bend it then. A child is like this. From the word go, the call to goodness must start. Islam teaches us. Even the newborn. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Ali Al-Kamil Wali of Allah has told us. And every now and then he trains us and teaches us, especially parents and guardians. Then even a newborn baby, you must talk words of politeness. Use beautiful words, not these goo-goo gaga stories. Use proper words. Use good words. Choose the select the best words. So as the child is growing, you will be refining your character and the child will be learning good manners. Good manners. But simple, absolutely simple things that anybody can do. You don't need a PhD in that. You don't need to spend a cent. Islam is simple. Islam is easy. We complicate it. We make it difficult. The vast majority of us. Because we haven't learnt and we haven't applied. Because you do know the levels of knowledge starting with seeking of knowledge. Seeking of knowledge. from authentic sources, books and scholars. The second step is to understand. If a person is self-taught, shaitan is going to give him all ideas with his own interpretations of verses of Quran, blessed ahadith, the one who does interpretation of that according to his ra'i, to his own opinion. The hadith mentions that he must find his seat fixed in the hellfire. Completely forbidden. That's how many people have gone astray, have gone away from Islam, by interpreting according to their own limited, small understanding. So, seeking of knowledge of deen, understanding it under a proper teacher, a qualified, experienced Sunni alim or mufti. The next step doesn't stop there. If you want to taste the sweetness of your worship, of your knowledge, we have to practice properly for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will feel that internal joy. So practice. And the next step is to convey ilmun nafi'a, beneficial knowledge, what you have learned to others, starting in your home. That's also part of calling towards goodness by teaching beneficial knowledge. Start with your family members and then you extend it outside. It doesn't make sense. If a person is going to concentrate most of their efforts on the outside and not worry about the inside, that most of my energy will be in teaching the deen to people on the outside. And very little time for my family members, for my spouse, my parents, my children, my siblings. I won't forget, there was one of our teachers had mentioned that one of the greatest benefits that he has seen for himself, right? After he completed different courses, and one of them was Madani Qa'idah course, where you learn from the beginning, Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha. And if you master Madani Qa'idah, you are a Qari. Qari meaning one who is able to recite the Quran properly, with Tajweed and Makharij, the rules of Tajweed, and with the correct pronunciations. So he finished that, he finished the teacher's course as well. And he was telling me one of the greatest benefits and joys that I have personally experienced by doing these courses is that I ended up teaching my own father, Tajweed and Makharij. And that is continuing till his father is able to recite the Quran with Tajweed and Makharij. Can my parents recite properly if I don't want to enroll them online? Faizan Online Academy is there. You go to quranteacher.net and you can enroll. But imagine if I enrolled and I learned and I received the training and I did the teacher's course. Anybody can do it. We just need discipline and time. And then once I'm done, I teach my mother. I teach my father. Subhanallah, that's something else now. It's part of the call towards goodness, the call towards righteousness. And then I teach my brother and my sister. I teach my spouse. Subhanallah. Dawud Islam is making this happen practically. Dawud Islam is continuing the call towards righteousness, towards goodness, as per the instruction of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is mentioned in the Quran. Surah Ali Imran, verse 104 says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, waltakum minkum يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. Translation from Kanjam Iman. And let there be such a group among you that may call towards goodness and command what is righteous and prevent evil. And the very same attained their goals. The great scholar, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned in Tafsir Naimi that, O Muslims, there should be one such group amongst you, a jama'ah amongst you, or that you should establish such a movement that enjoins people inclined towards sins, towards righteousness, and invites the disbelievers towards Islam, the transgressors towards piety, the heedless towards becoming aware, the ignorant towards Islamic knowledge, spirituality, the reserved ones towards the pleasure of devotion to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who in ghafla, in heedlessness towards consciousness. He further says, this movement should enforce correct beliefs, good manners, and good deeds should be preached by writing, by gently spreading the message through discourses, talks. This movement must prevent people from false beliefs, ill manners, bad deeds, evil intentions, evil thoughts, by verbally, by writing, and even force as per one's authority, like in the home setting. All Muslims are preachers. Each and every one of us is a muballigh, is a da'i, is a preacher. And it's compulsory, it's obligatory for all Muslims to command towards righteous deeds and to prevent from evil. Preaching is a significant worship in Islam. There's a saying that evil spreads when good people do nothing. You know, there's youngsters gathering there, or people gathering there, drinking alcohol, taking drugs, going to the clubs, pubs, and different types of impure, filthy sins are taking place. You came to know about it. What are you going to do? As close to your home, around the corner, if you do not work with the community in pushing and extinguishing these fires of sins which are burning around your house, what do you think is going to happen? What else can happen? Eventually, one day, someday, it's going to enter into your home. And then I'm going to cry, hold my head and cry, how did this happen to my son? How did this happen to my daughter? Drug overdose, alcohol, drunk, this disease, this sickness, got in a fight in a club, now he's in ICU. How did this happen? Parents, you have a big responsibility. You are going to be questioned about this. The father in particular. The father is the head of the home. He's the boss. Are you behaving like the boss? Are you more, not just the boss, you are the leader. Fathers out there, men out there, husbands out there, you are the leader, the captain of the ship. In which direction are you steering the ship? You need to set the example. The leader sets the example, not just as a boss commanding everybody. You get involved, get your hands dirty on the ground, do the training, invite towards goodness all the time, forbid evil all the time. Yes, even on the day of Eid. Which direction are you steering your ship, your family in? The right way or the wrong way? The right way, away from the storms, from the tsunami, or towards the icebergs, towards the rocks and the storm? Let's think about it and continue the call towards righteousness. It is mentioned in Surah Hamim, As-Sajda, verse 33.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
Translation from Kanz al-Iman. And whose speech is better than one who calls towards his Lord and does righteous deeds and says, I am a Muslim? Subhanallah. What a beautiful verse. And once again, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Na'imi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, a great scholar of Islam, a great commentator of the Quran, has stated that the best amongst all in calling towards righteousness is the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by virtue of him, the saints, the scholars, even the muaddin, one who calls to salah, those who say takbir, Allahu Akbar, and every believer who calls any other towards righteousness, they are also included in this verse. So we come to know that Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu loves that conversation which calls towards goodness. Huh? Doesn't matter the sound of the preacher's voice. It could be gruff, coarse. So long as the intention is correct. And Dawud Sami is working hard and smart, working online and face to face to extend the call to righteousness, to take Islam to the people, to invite them to Islam, to show them the beauty of Islam by being practical. And at the same time, Dawud Islami is there to bring back the Muslim that has strayed off the path. If we Muslims don't do it, tell me, who is going to do it? Who's going to take out the time and the effort to do it? Nobody. So Dawud Islami is doing both things. The tons of Muslims that have gone off the pathway, no salah, no sunnah, no Islamic values. When you enter into Dawud Islami, when you attend the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima, when you watch Madani Mudhakara, Madani channel, you get to see that over 90%, perhaps 95%, of those who are sitting there, who attend the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima or the dars or travel with the qafilas are youngsters, are youth. And if you were to talk to them privately, of course, you'll come to know that, hey, this guy was a gangster. This guy was a criminal. This guy was a drug addict, was a thief, was a this and was a that. And he'll give you a story. How Dawud Islami has changed me. If they were not there at that corner doing street dars or the corner dars, I may have never have changed. I was walking by, I saw a group of people standing, listening to something. It sounded interested. I stood there, I listened, and it was quite inspiring. And thereafter, they invited me to attend the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima. They invited to pick me up even, or arrange transport. And I attended. And that further made me so impressed that when they talked about traveling on the qafilas, I raised my hand and then I traveled on the qafilas. And one thing led to another and my life changed. This is the kind of people you're going to meet in the environment of Dawud Islami. Real cases. Real stories. Everybody is like a book. Everybody is like a story. And the pages are the days of their lives. And Dawud Islami is making it happen. Calling towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the worship only of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Calling to love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is the last and final prophet of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Calling to Sahaba Ikram alayhi Ridwan that her Sahabi a Nabi Jannati, Jannati. Every Sahabi of the Nabi is guaranteed Jannati. Any person who believes otherwise has derailed and gone off the track into some other direction. Dawud Islami is calling towards love of the Ahlul Bayt Athar, the purified, pure family members of the noble Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love them all. Subhanallah. Dawud Islami is calling towards awliyaullah, especially Abu Ghuthay Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al Jilani, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, the king of all awliyaullah. Dawud Islami is calling towards following the commands of the Quran, becoming embodiments of Sunnah, extending the call of Islam towards the non-Muslim. And if you're watching Madani channel, you will see with your very own eyes how many people, hundreds and thousands in different parts of the world, are embracing Islam, are becoming Muslims, becoming believers. Why? Because the Muballighin and Muballighat, they are extending the call towards goodness, towards righteousness. In one way, calling to embrace Islam. On the other way, calling Muslims to embrace the values of Islam. So big things are happening with us or without us. This majestic ship, Dawud Islami, is moving forward, full steam ahead. And those on board, it's easier to be protected against the storms and the tsunamis. Otherwise, we'll just get ripped to pieces and fall down in the shark-infested waters. The ship is heading straight to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Zadahu Allahu sharafa wa ta'zima. It is mentioned again by Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, that Sayyiduna Nabi Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam once humbly asked Almighty Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu, O Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the reward for the person who enjoins his brother to do good deeds and prevents him from evils? Almighty Allahu Azza wa Jal said, I write the reward of 1 year's worship for each word of his, and I have haya in giving him torment of hell. Let's understand that. If you went to a fellow Muslim that is not practical, that is more secular and modernistic in the approach of life and living and lifestyle, and you invited them towards goodness, let's say you used one paragraph, how many words are there? Maybe 30, 40? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam, I give the reward of one whole years of ibadah for each word. So maybe 30 words times 1 year's ibadah, 30 years of ibadah. Reward. Even if the person was rude, even if the person chased you away, hey, leave me alone. Even if the person did not accept your call towards righteousness. Look at the mountains of rewards that you have earned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides. We cannot guide people. We only extend the call towards goodness. That's it. That is it. And you leave it there. You are not responsible for that person. You are responsible for yourself, for your deeds and actions, for your sayings, not for that person's sayings or actions. He's responsible, each for their own. We're all responsible for ourselves. You know, Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, he even says, Subhanallah, that even the mayyit, the deceased person that is shrouded in the kafan, that is lying there, helpless, lifeless, is a silent muballigh, a silent preacher, a silent da'i. A silent da'i and preacher. And he says that what message are they preaching to you and I, the living? Oh my brother, oh my sister, look at me. I was once alive, full of life and energy, full of laughter and smiles. I used to enjoy my day of Eid, like you. Look at me now. Lifeless, helpless, hopeless. I could not even give myself a bath. Others had to come and do my ghusl. I could not change my own clothes. Others had to come and put this kafan and the shroud on me. I cannot even walk to my destination. Others are going to carry me on their shoulders towards my final destination in this dunya, the grave. One day it's your turn, my brother. One day it's your turn, my sister. You are going to be here in my position. How you see me, one day will be your turn. Want it or not, like it or not, it's going to happen. Sooner than you realize, we will return to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we take the lesson? Or do we go to the mayyat house, the graveyard, and still we busy chatting away about dunya things, dunyawi, worldly things, business, this, laughing, joking at the graveyard, at the home where the mayyit is taking place. And tomorrow when we are laying there, and our soul looks at each person, hey, these are my family members. Okay, he's reading Surah Yasin, she's reading Surah Baqarah. My son, my daughter in the back, my friends. We had lots of laughs together, but they are talking about business. They are talking about this problem and that problem. Not even reading for me. My wonderful friends, my wonderful family. Think, let's be smart. Let's be wise. Prepare for the grave. That's the first stage of the hereafter. If a person is safe and sound in the grave, insha'Allah ta'ala, he will be safe and sound on the day of judgment. And if he is in loss in the grave, he will be in loss as well on the day of judgment. Dear viewers and listeners, the call towards righteousness, towards goodness, is an individual obligation for each and every one of us, Muslim males, Muslim females, Muslim youth, Muslim elderly. Whatever the profession is, it's not restricted only to the ulama, the honorable scholars of Islam. This is an individual duty, a duty of each and every single one of us. If you're a believer, if you're a Muslim, it's your duty. Starting in your household and then extending it outside, in your community, in your society, and then to the world. And so you will find the motto and the Madani mission statement of Dawat Islami as, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. So I start with myself. I empower myself so I can extend the call towards reformation to people of the entire world, starting with my family members. May Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu grant us that enthusiasm to spread the call towards goodness and spread the forbidding of evil in our homes and in public as well. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of